As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want to talk about a new movie? Check. Want to talk about an older movie similar or related to that new movie?
Check.
That's what you can expect from Quality Check Podcast.
It's a new podcast on the Studio DNA Network, hosted by yours truly, Drew Douglas and
Daniel Posey. Every other Tuesday, we'll talk about a new movie and an old movie to see how the film's quality holds up.
Greetings. This is my final episode of What Else with Corey Mann for 2021. I don't say this enough. Thank you for subscribing, downloading, listening. Thanks for your feedback. Thank you to all the artists who give me 30 minutes of their time. I hope they realize I'm a fan before I'm a radio broadcaster or podcaster. I'm a lover of the craft. I'm a lover of the song. The creativity that goes into crafting the song. So we'll end the year with an artist and friend who has been on this podcast the most times.
What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
I'd have to do my homework on this, but you may have to get one of those gold jackets for most repetitive guest on this podcast.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll have to check back into the archives, but please welcome Matthew Joseph West.
So I might be one of the most frequent guests. I have so many people to thank. This is so unexpected. I didn't even write a speech. I want to thank the Lord who makes all things possible. I want to thank my my sponsor, Simply Earth Essential Oils. I want to thank my mother for bringing me into this world. Gosh, man, this is just, I'm frazzled. It's not every day you get, I want to thank Corey Mann. You know, without Corey, none of this would have been possible. So,
hey, speaking of mom and dad, did they have a record collection?
They did not have a record collection. So there was nothing to remember about it. But I have musical memories of mom and dad that reside in other places than a vinyl collection. Mostly because we lived behind the church where I grew up. And so music was, I always associated music with the church where I spent so much of my time day in and day out. Like I would come home from school, then run across the field to the church where my mom and dad pastored, where my dad was the pastor and my mom and dad were there working constantly. Our version of a record collection was there was this service that a church could subscribe to, like the youth pastor would subscribe to this. I think it was called Interlink.
It was.
And they would send this box to the youth pastor to keep them up to date on all of the latest music. And so I would intercept that delivery from Interlink and I would open it up and I would take out the cool CDs that I wanted to listen to. And so that's how I found out about like Cademan's Call and Audio Adrenaline's Bloom record and Jars of Clay. And that was, you know, one of my musical memories that's associated with my parents. The other one is that my mom, I learned how to sing harmony from my mom because we would stand in the front row every Sunday morning. The pastor's family is always in the front row. Whatever song or hymn we were singing, my mom would automatically pick up the harmony line. And so I would learn to sing harmony from her. So those are two musical memories, but I wish they had some sort of a vinyl collection that they handed down to me.
The last time we talked, you were talking about Truth Be Told, and you said, and this really struck me, and I thought, man, if we talk again, I'm asking. You said there's a lot of broken people in the world. No. There's a lot of hurt people in the world, and I'm one of them. What hurts Matthew West?
Wow.
There's a lot of hurt people, and I'm one of them. I'm just curious, could you name a hurt?
Well, the first thing that came to mind, and maybe it's because we were just talking about, or I was just reminiscing on growing up in my church, the first thing that came to mind was when people in the church where I grew up hurt my family. And I remember early in my childhood preteens, seeing people who called themselves Christians and yet carried themselves as anything but. That hurt me. And that hurt me. I remember being at a point as a teenager, like kind of saying to my dad, if this is what being a Christian is, man, you can have it. You know, this is ridiculous. And because people were just, I don't know, they just every now and then these people would carry out just anger towards the pastor's family or mistreatment or just weird accusations that weren't true. And I just remember getting kind of on the verge of being a jaded preacher's kid as a result of that. I will never forget my dad, what he said to me during one of those conversations when I was like, how can they treat you this way? Blah, 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 you know? And my dad just said, you know, if you look for God in other people, you may find him from time to time, but everybody around you is flawed and they're going to let you down. And you can't look for God solely in the eyes of other people. You've got to keep your eyes on God because he's the only one who will never fail you and never let you down. But other people are going to let you down. There was something about that that spoke grace to me for that hurt and maybe helped me to understand that, you know, we want to hold Christians up to a higher standard, but we all make mistakes and we all fall. So I think early on, that was some of the hurt that I remember. Like, that's what hurts me. That's one thing that hurts me is like when Christians, you know, fail to live up to the standard that they, you know, maybe claim to. And I'm one of those people too, right? You know, I mean, we all have bad days. And and so I think that's the first thing that comes to mind.
We're going to go back and I want you to walk me into the room for your audition at Universal South Records, and what's going through your mind?
Last chance, last dance. It's go time. Every other label has said no or not now. He's not good enough, not talented enough, not handsome enough. I knew that one was a lie. But I was just walking in with sweaty palms and some songs that I believed in, and I just kept thinking, this is your last chance. Ironically, it was a recording studio owned by Reba McEntire. And I don't know every Reba McEntire song, but one that popped into my head was, here's your one chance, Fancy, Don't Let Me Down. And so I remember walking in thinking, like, that's pretty true for this moment. So, but I was a nervous wreck, and I just went in and like, I went for it, man. I sang as hard as I could, and I was up there sweating and going for it. And then shortly after, my thoughts shifted to, there's a pretty girl sitting in the audience with all the record executives. And I got to meet her afterwards. And, you know, as a young man, I love Jesus, but I was a little, you know, like I was a little like when my dog Nick sees a squirrel, you know. Nick could be focused on one thing, but Nick sees a squirrel and he's taken off. And I had a tendency to be a little bit like that with the ladies. And sure enough, I see this beautiful girl while I'm trying to audition for a record deal. And I'm like, Lord, if you've ever helped me focus, this is the moment. I need you, Lord. Help me focus on me. I'm here to get a record deal, not a woman. But the best part about that story is, of course, that woman wound up becoming my wife of 18 years.
You get invited to the staff picnic. Tell me about the invite.
Well, have I told you this story? How'd you know about this? That was the thing. Emily, she comes up to me. She's gorgeous. Now, you've already heard me tell you, sweaty palms. I had sweaty palms. I was so nervous to perform. My hands were so sweaty. I remember, in fact, they're sweating now as I'm telling you this story, because all I kept thinking was, don't shake her hand. Don't shake her hand, because I didn't want that to be my first impression. So I did not shake her hand, and she thought I was being rude. And what she doesn't know is that I was saving her, like, I mean, there wasn't COVID back then, but whatever was on my hands was going to pass some sort of perspiration. I don't know. And, but from that moment on of meeting her, she invited me to a picnic at the president of the label's house. And I thought that was like her job, to be like the, I don't know, like the welcoming committee or something. Like, she was just so friendly. I thought she was just in charge of the artists. So we went to that picnic and we had fun, and she just stood around me and talked to me and laughed at my jokes. And I was like, wow, she really is great at her job, you know? And then she said, hey, Rascal Flatts is playing. I used to work for their management company down at Nissan. You know, you want to go down to the stadium? I got some tickets. And I was like, man, these are the perks of signing a record deal already coming in. And she kept asking me to do things. Then she asked me to go to church with her. And I thought, wait, that's kind of weird. Like, that doesn't fall in line with this job. And I remember at one point having a conversation with her and just saying, man, thank you so much for being so nice to me. I'm going to sign with this company. And I just want to say, it's been great talking with you. And, you know, whoever winds up dating you, you know, they better be someone special, because you really deserve someone great. But thanks for your kind of like setting her free. And she looked at me like I was the biggest idiot in the world. And 18 years later, I still see that look almost every day. But she was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, I thought you were being nice to me because that's your job. She's like, no, you idiot. I like you.
And
I was like, what? No way. Like, I mean, it was just like literally just a goober. Like, that tells you something, that like, it probably tells you what my opinion of myself was. And I've always struggled with like self-worth, or, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's one of the reasons why I work so hard, is because like, maybe then I'll be enough, you know? And it's hard for me even all these years later to rest in who I am in Christ, but it just never dawned on me that this beautiful, successful person actually wanted to be with me. I still can't believe it 18 years later, you know? I'm so blessed.
You do have a reputation for being a very hard worker, a workhorse. How do you do it all?
Yeah, I mean, I could probably give you some like aw shucks answer, like, man, I just somehow find a way to make it all work. But I'm super intentional, man. And I'm kind of obnoxiously obsessed with efficiency, because I know what matters most. My family is so important to me, Corey, that some might look at and see the output of work that I do, whether it's songwriting for other artists or making my records or going on tour or these different things on my list of passions and excitement. They might say, well, maybe his family suffers or whatever. And it honestly all stems from, it's like my family first in terms of priority and time spent. But in order to make that happen, I have to be very intentional with how I spend my days. And so my days are very structured in such a way that when the kids get home from school, if I haven't done these things when I needed to do them, then my family time will suffer, and I'm not willing to let that happen. So my days are very scheduled and structured, which might sound weird coming from someone who has like a job of creativity, but I have found that creativity doesn't happen just on a whim. It doesn't happen when you feel like it only. Creativity is literally something that you have to schedule into your day. And so I'm very serious about it. That's what I do. I also have to have great people around me. I'll give you a great example. Like, I just turned in a manuscript for my new book, but I knew the demands on my schedule. I also knew the other things that I was wanting to accomplish. But the biggest thing I knew was that I really wanted to, in this season, grow as a writer when it comes to my book writing. And so I wanted to see what it would be like to collaborate on writing a book with someone who I believe is a gifted and great writer. And so I partnered with this guy to try writing my sixth book different than all the other five. And that was to work with this and try to treat it like a songwriting appointment. And we collaborated, and that like condensed the time to write the book, but it also made me a better writer because I was learning from somebody else. So that's just an indication of how intentional I try to be with every endeavor that I'm chasing after. The short answer, Corey, in terms of the why I'm so busy, you hear cliches about idle hands. I don't like who I am when I don't have anything to work towards. Like, I don't like lazy me. I don't like where my mind goes. I don't like how I can become lazy when I don't have things to strive for. And so I just don't like that version of me, and I don't want to be that version of me. And so chasing after exciting things that God's opening doors for, that's more fun to me than being lazy.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Limitation breeds creativity.
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's amazing what happens. Like during COVID, Corey, like we were relegated to Zoom songwriting sessions. Well, nobody wants to sit on Zoom for 6 hours. So we would have like an hour to write a song on Zoom. Guess what? Nobody's getting up and going to the bathroom. Nobody's saying, hey, let's go get a cup of coffee. Nobody's like, you know, when you get together, and there's no substitute for being together in a room, but like there's just more of a tendency to like go kill an hour and a half at lunch. But what we found is like we could write a song in an hour because we were just hyper focused. And I tend to drive, like when I'm writing songs with other people in person, I'll drive them nuts because they'll I think they're looking at me going, does he ever pee? You know, like, because, you know, they're like, well, let's go get some lunch. And I'm like, no, let's keep going. Let's write verse 2. Like, and part of that's because I want to get home to my family. And but I think so. I may not be the best hang when I'm writing songs with people, but man, it feels pretty good when two songs get written instead of one in a day. You know what I mean? And I've had it happen where we've written two songs in a day and both of those songs get recorded. And guess what? The only thing we lost out on was tacos. We didn't eat lunch. And guess what? There's DoorDash for that now. Let's work.
Take me inside the station wagon on a school day. What's the conversation like taking the girls to school? What are you talking about? What are you debating about?
A lot of grunting. I have two daughters. They're one of them's in a bad mood every single morning. And I have felt like the Lord called me to lift her up out of said bad mood every morning. But my wife sees it differently. She says I'm doing something called pushing buttons. And so I tend to be the button pusher until they're in an even worse mood than they started. And so, but I am the one that drives them to school every morning when I'm home, when I'm off the road. And I am learning not to push so many buttons, you know, but I just try to fill them up with, hey, you're amazing. You can do anything today. My oldest daughter was upset this morning because whatever sweatshirt she needed wasn't clean. And I try to cheer her up. But sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. One of my favorite things to do is without them knowing, I go on my Spotify and did you know there's complete albums of fart noises on Spotify?
Yes. Yes, I do.
If I know anything about you, it's that you've already downloaded it. But I'll just start playing fart noises and they just are like, Dad, so help me. If you roll down the windows and play that. So I do. I mean, I'm embarrassing Dad. And the other thing that I do every morning on the way before I drop them off, I do pray with them, read a scripture to them. I pray a very specific prayer over them each morning. You know, that's a special moment for me, hopefully for them, at least when they look back on it years to come, years from now.
We're about to segue into some Christmas stuff, but one final question about your childhood. When you were a young boy with your brother and you're peddling your little bikes up to the Dairy Queen for a tasty treat in the hot summer day, why would you feel like you need to call your mommy to come get you as opposed to just riding the bike back home?
Well, haven't you heard that? I mean, it's a long, long known fact that you're not supposed to ride your bike for 30 minutes after eating. Isn't that what it is? Or is that just the swimming pool?
I'm here to tell you it's swimming.
Oh, okay.
Swimming.
Well, that's just how we rolled on the meat streets of Downers Grove. We would, you're so full from your ice cream. It was like, and you would ride far enough away from your house.
How far?
You know, well, far, you know, far enough for these like couple miles, you know, like if you rode the bike a couple miles and then it was like, well, man, 2 miles back, like after that dilly bar, that just doesn't seem wise, you know. Or my favorite was the peanut buster parfait, and my dad just valued ice cream. He always has, and he taught me the value of it too. But yeah, we were lazy and we got that ride home, put the bikes in the trunk, man. That's how we roll. That's a true story too. That is a true story. You know, another story about my dad is he loves free refills. Like he grew up very poor. And so like he saves everything. Like when we're on the road on the tour bus, like he hates to see food go to waste, you know, still to this day. I respect that about him, just knowing somebody's upbringing. But man, he would always make me get like a free refill on my Coke at McDonald's or whatever. And I'd be like, Dad, I'm not thirsty anymore. He's like, it's free. Why wouldn't you get it? And I'm like, because I'm not thirsty anymore. And he'd be like, you go get a free refill of Coke. You go get 300 more calories of sugar. You're like, but it was just, that's how he was always wired. Like, that was his way of, like, sticking it to the man. No wonder I had a weight problem as a kid.
A shout out to your lovely wife for filling in some questions for me in our email correspondence, because I had to ask you some new stuff.
I see how it is. Okay. All right.
Right now, the
All right, man, new Christmas album. Do you own your own tuxedo?
I do. I bought it for the photo shoot, actually.
Good-looking suit, brother.
Bro, I think I clean up good, right? My wife said she thought I looked handsome on the cover, so that's how I picked the cover of it. And then I figured even if I don't sell any records, if she thinks I look good, that's kind of a moral victory, if not a music industry one.
I have a bunch of Christmas questions right here. I am not going to read them until I see them with my eyes for the first time to ask you the question. Are you ready?
I love it. Yeah.
You feel good about this?
Okay, let's do it.
Now we're in uncharted territory. What televised Christmas special do you look forward to most of all each year?
Televised Christmas special? I'm going to go with Christmas Eve airing of It's a Wonderful Life on NBC. Even though I watched that movie on demand several times before, it airs on television every Christmas Eve, and I put it on and watch it again. Do you like that movie, though? Do we share that in common, or is that not your thing?
I do watch it during the holiday season.
More out of obligation than love?
A little bit.
Fair enough. It makes me cry. I don't know, man. It just always makes me cry.
What part?
I mean, just the premise. I mean, it's actually a pretty heavy premise. The guy was getting ready to commit suicide. He thought his life was a failure. The angel jumps in the water knowing who the guy really is at heart. He's a good man. And instead of committing suicide, he jumps in to save another life, which winds up being his guardian angel. He gets to see from there how his life would be different if he had never been born. And just it's a movie about legacy and about what really matters and how we it's like my song What If. It's like literally like the line in that song says, my biggest fear is waking up to find what matters is miles away from what I spent my life chasing after.
What if today the only day I got? I don't want to waste it if it's my last shot. Oh, no regrets in the end. I want to know I got no what if. I'm running till the road runs out. I'm lighting it up right here, right now. Oh, no regrets in the end. I want to know I got no what if.
That movie always reminds me what matters and what to chase after. So anyways,
follow-up question. What was the name of the angel?
Clarence.
All right. You really did see the movie. That's what I was getting at. I wanted to make sure you really saw it.
His name was Clarence Oddbody. And he still hadn't gotten his wings. He was like a failure angel, which isn't biblical, but I like it.
If you kept a journal of Christmas past, which year's Christmas would have the lengthiest entry?
Oh my gosh. Wow. I mean, I would say probably it would be the years after our daughters were born, just because it was like seeing Christmas in a whole new way again, right? Like the excitement of getting the kids gifts and watching. So I'd say it's every year post when the kids were like 3-4 years old, like post their birth. Those were some incredible Christmases that I would say if I had to pick one, it would be the year that I brought home our dog Nick on Christmas Eve. It was like textbook, like dad crushed it. The little puppy in a gift box and the girls are crying when they open the box. It's like it was an epic Christmas that year.
If you were asked to choose four songs for a Christmas medley, which songs do you pick?
Like classics?
You can do whatever you want. You got a Christmas tour coming up. You know, there's a part of the show where you need to do a mashup of four songs to move the show. Which four do you choose to whoosh together?
Yeah, well, so what we're going to do is like kind of a Matthew Bublé-esque medley where we kind of go little jazzy into the classics. Like I would put I'll Be Home for Christmas. We did a version of that on this record. That's one of my all-time favorites. I would add Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, right? Have yourself those classics. I would put those in a medley. Winter Wonderland, you know, Sleigh Bells Ring, Are You Listening? Kind of that, put the tux on and take that bass for a walk. That's a little Ron Burgundy for you.
I loved it. To your knowledge, what is the oldest ornament on the Christmas tree? This can either be your family tree or your parents' tree that still gets put up.
Well, I know my wife and I have an ornament my mom gave us as a wedding gift. So that's the first one that came to mind. But I know my wife has one on our tree that's something she made as a child. So there's probably a 40-year-old ornament on there somewhere, no doubt.
If you were in charge of hiring a mall Santa, what quality or ability above all others would you look for in your applicants?
Sobriety, number one. No criminal record, number two.
He cannot smell like beef and cheese.
That's right. That's exactly the image that I have. A Buddy the Elf, you know. Cool it, Zippy. And then I'd say, I mean, you know, a real white beard, I think, is important. You know, I think none of this like fake beard action. At least come show me that you've put in some months of beard growth, that you're committed to this role.
What has been the greatest blessing in your life this past year?
Oh, man.
Been a good year, hasn't it?
It's been a good year and a hard year, man. You know what I mean? It's just been...
Honestly, actually, I don't know what you mean by a hard year.
Well, it's just been a hard year. I guess when I say hard year, like I'm lumping in the last two.
Okay.
I really feel like these 2 years have been inseparable. You know what I mean? In that, like, one just kind of bled into the other, and just a lot of heaviness, a lot of, you know, that's why the record's called We Need Christmas. Cause I feel like these last 2 years, our nation, you know, and our communities were like crawling towards the end of the year. and yet here we are, you know, at Christmas time, we can have our spirits lifted and being reminded what it means to us. If I had to pick the greatest blessing, if I could extend the answer to be about the last 2 years, it would be, in all seriousness, I feel like God has done some work on me. We talked earlier in our time together about how much of a hard worker I am. And these last 2 years, out of a necessity during the pandemic, I felt like my work ethic kicked it up several notches. I was just going into work mode. And I feel like God whispered to me, you know, Matthew, you're doing good. I'm proud of you. You're a hard worker and using the gifts I've given you. But don't let this season go by without letting me work on you. And as clear as day, that stopped me in my tracks. And I just felt like, wouldn't it be a shame if the hard seasons of our life come and go without us letting God really use it to shape our character and grow us in our faith? So I think that's probably been the greatest blessing, is me choosing to stop working long enough to realize the most important thing is to spend time with Jesus and let him work on me.
My thanks to Matthew West, Jimmy Wheeler, Provident Label Group, and my thanks to you once again. Thanks for downloading, subscribing. I'll see you in 2022.
What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network? Leave some feedback, write a review, hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network?
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.